This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube-streamed worship service from St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on the 3rd of May 2026. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
Second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at the second verse. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. This honour then is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, the cornerstone upon whom our lives are built. Amen. 27 years ago yesterday, I became a mother when Johnny was born. Some of you will know our story. Johnny was born 3 months early at 27 weeks when I became very ill. And that photo is taken on my first Mother's Day. He was 1 week old and it was the first time I'd been able to hold him. You can see how tiny he is, but you can also see the big smile on my face. In those early weeks of life, of his life, he was supported by a respirator in order to breathe. As parents, we felt incredibly helpless, unable to provide the care that Johnny needed in order to survive. But there was one thing I had that was absolutely essential to his survival. From the day after his birth, I was encouraged to express milk. Initially, he was given just a few drops a day. The midwives cheered me on, saying, "This is liquid gold for him. Something fundamental that we can't give him. This will help him grow and develop." I did this for many months with varying levels of success and frustration. And I know that every mother has their own story about breastfeeding, and maybe one of joy and maybe one of pain and grief. So I just want to acknowledge that today too. Now, Johnny wasn't able to tell me what he needed. No baby can. But there is something both ordinary and profound about a newborn baby being fed. It doesn't really look impressive. I mean, it's just a small child, hungry, dependent, reaching out, learning slowly how to receive what gives life. And yet in that simple act, something remarkable is happening. Life is being sustained. Growth is taking place. A relationship is forming. trust, dependence, and connection. The child simply longs for the milk, receives it, and then grows. And that's the image that the Apostle Peter gives us today. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. Peter's inviting us into something deeper, a life marked by a continual longing for God. Because we know the Christian life is not a one-off event. It's not something that we complete and move on from. It is an ongoing formation, a lifelong being fed, shaped, and sustained by God. And Peter goes even further. He says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, not just heard, not just remembered, but tasted. There is nothing abstract here. This is us encountering God. God is not only someone that we think about. God is someone we meet, someone who comes to us, someone who feeds us, nourishes us, and sustains us. And we know where God promises to meet us, in his word and in the sacraments, in his gathered community, in the bread and the wine, in the spoken promise of forgiveness. Here we do not simply remember what God has done. Here we receive what God is doing now. We taste and we see that the Lord is good. And from that image of nourishment, Peter moves to another one, this time a stone. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. Christ is the cornerstone, the foundation, as we sang in our first hymn. Everything begins with him. But here is the great reversal at the heart of the gospel. The one rejected by the world is the one chosen by God. The one dishonored by human standards is the one who is precious in God's sight. And that changes everything. Because if Christ is the foundation, then our identity is not built on what the world values, not on success or reputation or strength or achievement. It is built on God's choosing, God's grace, and God's mercy. And then Peter says something even more remarkable. He says, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. Not just a pile of stones, not scattered individuals, a house, a community. Faith is not a private project. It's not something that we can construct on our own. It is something that we are drawn into, first by God, and then into community. The words that are used are not build a spiritual house, but let yourselves be built. Not build yourselves, not construct something impressive, not measure your success. This is God's work. God is the builder. Christ is the foundation. And we, together, are being shaped, placed, and joined into something that is living. And that means the church is not defined by its programs, by its numbers, or by its achievements. It's defined by the presence of Christ, who gathers and builds his people. And that includes all of us, those of us who've been here for decades, and those of us who are joining in membership today. You are not joining a finished structure, you are being built into a living one. And Peter continues, you are being built to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is one of the most radical claims of the New Testament. All believers share in a priestly calling, Not just pastors, not just leaders, all of us. So what does this mean? Well, it means that our whole lives become worship. It means our relationships, our work, our words, our love, all of it is caught up in what God is doing. It means we stand before God on behalf of the world and before the world as witnesses to God. Peter then claims, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." This is a gift. And it's a gift that comes with a story. And the story is this. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is grace. This is inclusion. This is a new identity beyond whatever is in our past. Whatever has shaped us before, our successes, our failures, our doubts, our history, none of that has the final word. God does. And God says, "You are mine. You belong. You are my people." And with this identity comes a profound reversal. The world says, "Prove yourself." And God says, "You are chosen." The world says, "Earn your place." And God says, "You have received mercy." The world says, "Build your own identity." And God says, "I give you one." This is the great freedom of the gospel. We no longer have to construct ourselves. We are given ourselves by grace. But this identity is not passive. Peter continues, "In order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." There is a purpose. We are not simply gathered, we are sent. Not simply fed, but formed and sent. To proclaim God's mighty acts. And that proclamation takes many forms. In our worship as we praise God together, in our witness as we speak of Christ in our lives, in our public faith as we live differently in the world. This is not about grand gestures. It's about lives shaped by grace, pointing beyond themselves. And so we begin to see the pattern of the Christian life. We are fed like newborn infants, nourished by God's grace. We are formed, built into a community, shaped into a people. And we are sent to proclaim, to witness, and to live. It's not a one-off. It's a rhythm. It's a way of life. A way of life grounded in the resurrection. Because Christ is not just a stone, he is a living stone. And that means that we too share in his life. Christian existence is not simply believing something about the past. It is living in the reality of the risen Christ now. A living hope. A hope that sustains us when life is difficult. A hope that gives us identity when the world questions it. A hope that sends us into the world with courage. Today, as new members are received into this congregation, we can see this scriptural passage made visible. You are not simply joining an organisation. You are being welcomed into a people. A people who are fed by God. A people being formed together. A people sent into the world. And just as importantly, You are not expected to have it all together. You are invited to long for God, to receive, to grow, and to be built, along with the rest of us. For all of us, this is a reminder. We do not outgrow our need for God. We do not graduate from grace. We remain always like newborns, longing, receiving, and growing. We remain living stones being built, shaped, and placed. We remain God's people called out of darkness into light. So hear again who you are. You are chosen. You are being built. You are a priesthood. And you are God's own people. And you are sent to proclaim the mighty acts of the one who has called you into his marvelous light, not because you have achieved it, but because you have received mercy and grace. And that is enough. Amen.